Hi, welcome to The Left Brain Artist. I'm Suzanne Redmond. Today's interview is with artist Laura Horn. Laura lives near Adelaide, South Australia, where she creates wonderful artwork, online classes, and most recently, an art podcast that she produces with her husband. Actually, she produces the classes with him too. They're a great team when it comes to producing content related to her artwork, because he's a photographer and he has the photo and video skills, and she's the artist who has a great vision for her business. I discovered Laura's art through Instagram. I stumbled upon it and was really taken by the colors that she uses and the amount of art that she creates, as well as the interesting captions that went with her photos. We talk a little bit about Instagram here and how you can use it more efficiently to get greater results without taking a lot of your time. This is Laura Horn. Welcome, Laura. It's nice to see you.
Yeah, lovely to see you too.
Oh, I'm so excited. This is kind of a daring podcast episode for me because I'm talking to Laura all the way across the world in Australia, and I am in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
Laura, can you tell everybody where you are in Australia?
Yeah, so I live in Adelaide, which is in South Australia. So, yeah, and I live in a coastal suburb. By a beautiful pebbly beach, and it's gorgeous, yeah.
Oh, very nice. How far away from the beach is your home?
So the beach is walking distance to my home, but it's very hilly. It's a very rocky part. So we often drive, just a few minutes drive.
I gotcha. Okay. Well, I grew up on the beach in Cocoa Beach, Florida, and it was within walking distance, and Cocoa Beach is very, very flat, so you just walked across the street. Now I live a couple hours south in Florida, and I am about 12 miles, which would probably be, I'd say, maybe 15 kilometers away from the beach. So we have to do a bit of a drive to get there.
Yeah, well, we can see the beach, but it actually would take a long time to walk there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it looks closer than it is. But once you start walking, it's a long walk.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, Laura, so I'm going to tell everybody how I found you. And it was really just from Instagram. I started seeing your art and I started following what you were doing. And I really love your art that you do, your painting and watercolors and different things. But I don't really know about your background and how long art has been in your life. So when did you first start doing art? Was this something you did as a child?
Well, I was very much an arty child, that's for sure. That was definitely my comfort zone. I wasn't a sporty kid. I tried to be. I tried to fit in that way. But it was really just making things, drawing, painting. It was very much my happy place from an early age. And I did that right through to the end of high school, very much an arty high school kid. And I wanted to go to art school. Like, that was something that was sort of on my radar, should you say. But I kind of got a bit discouraged from that path. You know, I was, you know, a lot of people were saying things to me about, you know, that I wouldn't be able to, you know, get a job and all that sort of stuff. And I was influenced by that, and I was, at that age, I was very easily influenced, and I quite quickly just discarded that idea. And I ended up doing a business degree and working in finance and then human resources. And I really just didn't touch painting for years. And it was only when I had children that I had a bit of time on my hands when I was on maternity leave. And I was introduced to mixed media art journaling, and the various different people that were doing that and online courses and things like that. And I just started just doing it as a hobby. It was just a way of just having something for me. And, yeah, it just grew and grew and grew.
Well, how did you find the mixed media art? Because I hear that from people quite often that it starts with art journaling. How did you find it? Was this in the days of the internet?
Yeah, so it was in the days of things like Flickr.
Okay.
So before Instagram. And it was actually through my sister that I found out about art journaling. I had come from a pretty arty family, so we're also always sort of been interested in different arts, crafts and things like that. And she actually introduced me to it, and she was really busily working on, different online classes and things. And I'd go over to have cups of tea and things like that with her, and I'd just be fascinated by what she was doing. It was just really exciting, and I'd always ask her and flip through her journals and it didn't take long before I started on that path too.
Oh, that's great. Does she work in the art business now?
No, she's a financial analyst.
All right.
Yeah, she's a very logical kind of mathsy, type of job, but she's a fantastic artist on the side, and she does it as a hobby.
Oh, yeah. That's great. So your family definitely has a left brain, right brain thing going, the creative and the... Yeah,
that's why I think when you contacted me, I really related to the concept of your podcast, because it's very much a running theme in me and my family that we have this sort of strong kind of business side and practical side, but then we also just really love to like let loose and trust our intuitive side as well.
That's wonderful. So when you started just kind of playing around really with art journaling and things that you saw your sister doing, you were still working in the finance field?
At that point, I was working in a kind of more of a recruitment program management. I was working in a not-for-profit, very administrative kind of role.
Okay. And so you were just doing this for fun, but at what point did you say, you know what, maybe I could quit my day job and I could do more of this art? Did you start selling art somewhere?
Yeah, so it took me a while. It was a lot of time that was just spent just enjoying it as a hobby. And then it was only through a friend asking me if I would be interested in doing an art market that I got into the selling side of things. And
okay.
I started doing local community events and selling my art. And I set up a little page on my website. And it was at this point I was just doing it as a bit of a side business.
Okay.
And working part-time in my other job, and I still have young children, so I was juggling all of those things. And the art markets were very successful, and there was a lot of interest in my art, and I enjoyed having the conversations, and I started to get a lot of people contacting me for all sorts of things. And this really surprised me, because I was just little old me doing my thing, and suddenly I was getting people, can I interview you for a magazine, or, all these sorts of things. Can I feature your work on a product or something like that? And I was blown away. And I think at that point, I did have that moment where I thought to myself, wow, I could actually do this. This could be, I could do what I love, and it could, provide for me and my family. Like, this could be a lifestyle.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And it really excited me. And I always had this dream around being able to paint, and then also be able to balance that with spending more time with my kids and maybe more travel. And I was really motivated by this idea of creating this life that I wanted to live that had creativity like woven through it. And that really got me excited. And then I worked hard at it.
to make it happen for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you weren't just looking at it as, oh, I'm really having fun making art as a hobby. Let me just make twice as much or five times as much. You were looking at it as, let me change my whole lifestyle so that I can have more time with my children and with my family. I love that. Really big picture looking at the very beginning. Some people think... They jump right into it, or it kind of gets thrust upon them, which kind of was happening with you when people were just approaching you and saying, hey, I'd like to feature you in a magazine. And they let it get crazy around them before they even realize what's happening. But it sounds like you kind of had a really good thought about it from the beginning, which is amazing to me.
Yeah. It's amazing to me now looking back at it because I definitely did. I had quite a vision early on, and that really helped me to take the steps that I needed to do to grow a business.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, so let me go back to what you were talking about when you started out selling things at art markets. I want to make sure I understand what art markets are in Australia, if I'm thinking of the right thing. Were these outdoor markets where you set up a tent and a table with your art?
Yeah, something similar to that. We have, I guess, markets here in Australia that, and they're all sort of a bit different, but they're not just, you know, visual artists. There's often a lot of like ceramics and things like that.
Okay.
Different types of makers, and some of them are in indoor venues and are very well put together and curated and branded. And then some of them are more community style, more relaxed. And I did all sorts. I did ones at the local, you know, school that was looking to raise some money, and to other more, you know, higher end market experiences. And some of them, you know, have food and other elements to them, not just the art, you know. So I was pretty open. I did all sorts of them over the course of a couple of years. And that was instrumental in me, I guess, meeting people, becoming more confident about my art, talking about my art, getting more organized, putting structures in place for my business. That couple of years that I spent doing the sort of market circuit, that really paved the way to other things.
Okay, yeah. And so because you were doing it, was it basically the weekends because you were still working during the week? So you're trying to fill up your booth or whatever, your space with art. So you're having to produce an awful lot of art that you're selling and then to replace what you've just sold. Did it help you to did making so much art help you to develop your style, or had you kind of developed it beforehand?
No, I think there was still an evolution of my style that was happening as I was creating the work for these places. And at the same time, I was also exhibiting my work in a local cafe.
Oh, very nice.
Which I still do to this day. And so keeping that cafe stocked up with larger paintings, so bigger acrylic pieces on canvas. So, yeah, I really had to do a lot of work, and I was painting and creating just about every day. It became second nature to me to get out my paints and do something, even something small, towards it all the time.
Okay, yeah. And I've really liked the color palette that you use. You seem to have a cohesive look to your art, which I think is very important when you're setting up a display or when you're setting up your paintings at a cafe, that they look like they go together. And I think a lot of artists, when they first start, they're trying so many different things that they don't look like the same person painted them.
Well, you know, I went through that too.
Did you?
I went through that phase of exploration, trying many different things on, and everything feeling quite confusing and not really knowing what my, I guess, style was in all of that. And it was through that process of making a lot of art and getting really, I guess, really dedicating time to looking at my work and processing it and reflecting on it. And I do a lot of writing. I love writing. So I journal a lot. Just, you know, just written journaling, not art journaling, but just writing in general. And I think about, like, what my work is saying to me. What do I like? What do I enjoy? I reflect on the process, and through that, over time, certain things became clearer to me about what kind of colours I like to use, what kind of, you know, motifs or imagery, or, you know, and the process, like, what do I enjoy doing? when I come out of the studio session, I'm checking in on my energy. Like, how do I feel? Like, how did that feel for me? Do I feel uplifted by that? Is that something I want to do more of? Well, let's go do lots of it then, you know. And that's the approach that I take. I'm really checking in with myself all the time.
Okay, yeah. And I've watched a couple of videos of your process, and it seems like you're using a lot of different supplies. It's not just paint. Tell me about some of the other things that you're using for canvases or some of your works on paper.
Yeah, so for me, mixed media really captured my heart. I really, that was one of my discoveries, I guess, as I was learning, was that I love the mixing up of different things. And I really enjoy using things like pastels. I love those Neo color water soluble pastels or crayons that I like to use them in my work. I use not so much on canvas, but I do use paint pens on paper pieces. I've recently started experimenting with adding a little bit of oil stick and at the very end of a painting. So, yeah, I like to use all sorts of different mark-making supplies, probably mainly pastels, different types of pastels.
And are you just doing acrylic, or are you doing both acrylic and watercolor paints?
I work in watercolor and acrylic, but mostly on my larger paintings on canvas or on wooden panel, I'm using primarily acrylic paint. But I do love to use fluid acrylic, so I like to try and almost get like a little bit of that watercolor feel that I enjoy into my bigger paintings. I like to have a bit of flow in there. But when I work small, I use watercolor and acrylic inks mostly.
Okay. All right. Very nice. Okay. So during this time when you were doing the art market circuit, did you take online classes from other people? And the reason I ask is because you offer online classes. So I'm just curious, what kind of experience did you have taking other people's classes first?
Yeah, I've taken quite a lot of classes. It's kind of helped me to create the kind of class that I always wanted. And that's kind of my mindset that I had when I went into making the online classes. I thought about all the experiences that I've had and then thought, what is it that I really want? You know, like if I could make the ultimate online class, what would it be? And that's the mindset that I took when creating my own online classes. So, yeah, certainly I did experience a variety of online classes, and I got different things from the different ones that I took. So one of the very first online classes that I did, I'm just trying to think back now. I know I did something that was out there by Connie Solero.
Yep. She's the lady who does 21 Secrets.
Yeah. So my sister introduced me to Connie.
Okay.
And we were talking about the art journaling before, she was and still is, loves 21 Secrets and that journey. From there, I got introduced to Tamara Laporte and Life Book. And
okay.
I went down the Life Book road a couple of times and met a lot of different artists through that. And then there's been so many other online classes that I've also been, you know, involved in. And I wasn't as active in, but I went along the journey with Mady Rose and Faith Evans Sills, some classes with them as well. So there's been, plenty of artists that have inspired me in my journey.
Yeah, it's just so amazing that I'm talking to you on opposite ends of the world, and you're talking about people that I know too, because we're all connected now, because we can just look at anything through the internet. I interviewed Connie Solera for one of my podcast episodes. She was lovely to talk to. But let me go back to talking about your classes now. So you were trying to take the best of the best as you looked at other classes. What is the format of your classes then?
Yeah, so what I really wanted was to create classes that fit into, I guess, our increasingly busy lives. So my first sort of idea was to have classes that were really inspiring but beautifully edited and really an experience, a visual experience. And I'm very lucky because my husband, he is a photographer and a videographer. And
oh, bonus. That's fabulous.
Yes. So I am really blessed and fortunate position to be able to combine creative talents with him, for him to be able to bring me this experience that I wanted to deliver. I also wanted it to be very intimate and warm and relaxed and conversational. And I was very inspired by years and years ago, I used to really love watching like the Jamie Oliver cooking show.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. you know how he had like the Naked Chef and those very early series that he
right.
had. I was really inspired by the way that he would get out and talk to people and he would film in different locations and things like that. And I wanted to bring some of that into my art videos. I wanted to something different, you know. I wanted it to be like an, as I've said just before, I wanted it to be an experience, and I wanted to bring as much of, I guess, my personality into it, and not be, I guess, scared to just be me.
Okay, I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to, because initially I was kind of thinking maybe I wasn't the right type of person to run online classes. You know, maybe I didn't have the right kind of personality for it, or, you know, like my own little gremlins and fears around putting myself out there were like speaking to me loudly. But I thought, no, you know what, there is room for everybody and all the unique kind of personalities and styles. And so I really wanted to just embrace that and just go for it. And so what we created were these mixed media mini classes. And so they are packed with content, but they're edited in such a way that each class is only about an hour, or probably an hour and 15 minutes, but they're broken up into little videos. So they're like 15-minute video, 10-minute video, and it's about a month or so's worth of content. But it's what we're doing is we're speeding up any parts that might be repetitive. We're putting it to beautiful music where I talk through it as I go, and there's multiple camera angles. So those little bits that you really want to see, you know, the details you can really see because we've got the beautiful videography happening as well. And we film them outdoors in my backyard. So that's not without its challenges.
I bet.
Dogs barking, you know, garbage truck coming, all those sorts of things. I really love working outside. My work has a deep connection to nature, and for me it's just culminates in the type of class that I want to offer. So we work together on that and create these mixed media classes. They all include start to finish projects, but they're very open. Like there's a lot of encouragement for people to bring in their own influences and style and color choices and all those sorts of things. So it's not a, you know, follow this step and you'll end up here. It's kind of come along this adventure with me and let's see what happens.
Oh, that's great. I love that. So it is project based, but it's not paint like you. It's not, I'm putting a blue paint down, so you have to put a blue paint down. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And what one of the most fantastic things about it has been the community that's developed through these classes. The Facebook group they're just amazing. They're such a supportive and encouraging bunch of people that have come together. And that was a very surprising part because initially I was questioning to myself, would I even offer a Facebook group? You know, I wasn't even mm-hmm. sure I was going to question that path. And then the very last minute I thought, no, I will. And it's become one of the best parts of the whole the whole thing.
And, you know, I've been reading more and more that they think that's where Facebook is going to go, or rather that's how our use of Facebook is going to go, whether Facebook likes it or not, that we won't be doing so much of the engagement just on our regular Facebook feed, but the majority of our engagement will be through groups, through actual groups that we're in. So I love that. So when you set up a group, are you setting up one for every single class, or is it one group for all of your classes?
I have one group for all of my classes.
Okay.
And which I really enjoy. A lot of people are doing them all, so there's a lot of excitement in the group as the next class is about to drop in, and it is like a bit of a journey. Like each class, they're designed as standalone, but you see people grow and with each class and build on their skills. So it's really lovely to have that all captured in one group.
Yeah, I like that. That's a very unique idea, but I really like that. So when your classes start, are they, let me make sure I understand how the class works. When somebody buys your class, then can they just take it at their own pace, or should they take it at a certain start date because that's when everybody in the class is starting together?
There is an advantage to starting at the time that the class becomes available, but
okay.
They are self-paced. So you can join at any time, but you will find that the Facebook community is very active in that first few weeks when the class
is
launched. So if you want to come along for that ride, that's the best time to jump in. But because it is one group for all classes, the Facebook group is always busy and active.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's kind of fun because it's going to generate interest. You might be taking one class about something, but then you'll see the posts about a different class, and that generates interest for you as well.
That's right. It's contagious. So people start to see, ooh, what are you doing? What class is that? And then they might hop in and join that class. Or I say to people, because I understand not everyone can afford to pay for every class, and I say, look, if you can't afford the class, just have a go at it in your own way. Like, look at what's being posted. And, you know, I'm all for anyone just, you know, jumping in and feeding off that energy in the group.
That's great. Yeah. So everyone's just going to be inspired by each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice. Do you have a schedule where you know, kind of like a business plan where you know how many classes you want to offer per year?
Yeah, I've got a bit of a schedule. It's been a bit of a moving beast. Just how, I guess, how much work goes into making an online. We were initially planning on doing them every month, and then that's sort of moved out to 6 weeks or so. And now we're just sort of being a little bit more flexible around it. But I have set myself sort of business targets around, you know, what, how many classes I want to do and, you know, what other things that I want to offer. So I'm starting to get more strategic around things, but it's very new. You know, a lot of it has just been, you know, figuring it out as we go.
Right. When we're looking at the timeline of your career as an artist, it's very short, isn't it? Aren't we talking about you've really just been offering classes for, what, a year?
Yeah, so
yeah.
The timeline as far as offering online classes has only been this year. So before that, I was mainly just focusing on selling my work rather than teaching.
Right,
so, yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to do some show notes for this and include photos of your artwork. So that'll be included on my website. But I'll also point people out to different sections on your website where you can find things. And one of the things I wanted to mention is that your blog is filled with a lot of interesting resources. And there was one blog post in particular, and you also did a podcast episode about this, and we'll talk about your podcast in a minute. But you did a post about tools to help your business run more efficient.
Yes,
I don't know if I'm describing it right.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's right.
But one of the ones, and so I want to point that out to everybody, because I think everybody should read that post or listen to that podcast episode, because it's just a huge amount of information, just you talking one paragraph about each one of these products that you use. But I want you to talk about, what is the product that you use for your social media posts, where you plan them ahead of time, or you kind of stack them up and do a bunch at once? And how does that work? Because you're talking about a very busy business that you do. We haven't even talked about the podcast, but you're painting all the time. You're teaching a lot of, creating all of these classes and managing this Facebook group. And yet you have, 40,000 followers on Instagram or something? You have huge numbers. So somehow you're managing to put social media posts out there. So how do you do it? What are you using to help you with that?
Well, I've tried just about everything. So I started off using a piece of software called Planoly for Instagram, which is great, but it only covers Instagram. And then I moved over to Later, which is a program that will help you to manage all of your social media. So you can use it for Facebook and Pinterest and Twitter, as well as Instagram. So I was looking to try and save time by having something that would do it all. It's very hard to find something that will do it all, I've discovered. There's always one feature you're looking for that one, you know, platform has and the other one doesn't. But using something like Later is a really big time saver. And once you get to, you've got a certain, a number of followers and you're managing a load of different things, it becomes impossible to just do that on the hop on your phone in a daily way. And that's how I used to do it. I used to do it in that way. But now I sit down at my computer and I do it all off my desktop. I don't do much on my phone at all. And that's also been one of my strategies around, having a better work-life balance and taking breaks from social media, is that I now sort of do my social media from my desktop at a certain time of the day, and then that's it. So what I do is I sort of batch up a few posts and do them and get things ready ahead of time, but I also leave slots that I can put in more in the moment posts, because I still can't help myself when I get really excited about something. I just have to post it then and there.
Yes.
I start have a really good painting day. I just want to share it. I'm just a sharer in that way. And so, and I also still really like that aspect of Instagram, although Instagram's not as much like that anymore. I still like that kind of Insta side of things. So I do a bit of both. My strategy is to have some posts set up that I can push out when I need to. And so, if you have those days where you're just tired and you can't be bothered posting on Instagram, or, you've always got something that you can easily push out. But then I also leave a few gaps here and there for things that just happen, and then I pop them in. But I always do it from my desktop. It saves you time because you can write your captions with your keyboard. You can save your little hashtag groups, so you can just quickly paste in your hashtags. You can answer comments from people without, having to do it on your phone. It's much faster. So, yeah, it's a big time saver, and I definitely would suggest anyone that wants to have a substantial social media presence probably needs to get their head around some of these tools, yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's really good advice. And I like the examples that you gave, because it is time consuming to type out hashtags for every single one. But on the desktop, you can cut and paste things so much easier. Yeah, than you can on the phone. So do you have any, this is a loaded question, I'm sure people ask you this all the time, but do you have any hints on how to get more followers? Because that's what people, they say, well, how do I know that I've got good, real followers that are looking at my work? How do you do that?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. It is, to have those real engaged followers, because it's not just about the number. It's about who's actually interacting with you, seeing what you're doing and taking an interest in it. So one thing I'd say is, yeah, be less focused about the number and more focused on your engagement. Consistency is massive with social media, though. Like, just having a regular habit of posting, and I always suggest just posting daily if you can, once a day, is going to go a long way to helping you. And it's consistency not just in the time that you post or the amount of times you post, but it's also in, you know, your photography, the kind of energy that you put into your captions and how you engage with people. So just being consistent across all of that, being just, it kind of shows people that you're showing up and you're present and you want to engage with them. You want to have a chat. You want to have a conversation. You want to share. You want to be inspired. You want to inspire. Like, you know, you're here and you're enjoying it. And I think if you can bring that energy and create a habit around your social media, that's really going to help. Also, keep yourself up to date on what's happening as well, like new features. There's so many great resources out there now around Instagram and strategies and hashtags and all of that stuff. And you've got to tread that fine line between getting obsessed about it and just knowing what's going on. So I try and just keep myself updated without worrying too much about having to do all the things. There are things that are available on Instagram that I'm not doing. So I haven't done any of the IGTV stuff. I just made a decision that that wasn't something that I wanted to invest my time and energy into. So you don't have to do it all. But I always try things out. So I try out, you know, stories and different kind of, you know, things that you can do, asking questions and doing polls and stuff like that. So being active, and I don't know, Instagram is a mystery, but I think Instagram likes it if you are a good Instagram user and you try out their new features and all those sorts of things.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. Yeah. And one thing that you said is you don't do the IGTV because you just can't do everything. And I think that's good advice when you're talking about any social media. People say, well, should I be on Twitter? Should I do YouTube videos? Well, only if you want to, only if you have the skills or the desire. There's no reason why you should do all of those things.
Yeah, I completely believe that too. And I really think, you know, you're better off doing one or two things really well rather than trying to do it all. And recently, like I for a little while thought, oh, what's this Twitter thing? Should I be doing this? And I did it for a couple of weeks. And I think I had about four people following me on Twitter. And, you know, my 10-year-old daughter was embarrassed by that. She's like, Mom, you, no one knows who you are on Twitter. So anyway, after looking at it and pondering it for about a week or two, I decided, you know what, I don't need this. So you've got to, I think you're better off choosing one or two things. Going for it on those and then letting a few other things, let them be for somebody else.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So one other thing you did choose is you started a podcast. How long ago was that?
So we're coming up to, episode 17, and we've been doing it every week. So it's been about 4 months.
That's great. Congratulations. And you do this with your husband?
I do, yeah. And I would never have done it except he made me.
What was his reasoning? Why did he? Was it just something he always wanted to do?
No, he doesn't even really want to do it. He wants me to do it.
I've listened to a few episodes, and you have such a great relaxed rapport with one another that it's very comfortable listening to you both.
Yeah, we have a lot of like fun with it, and I think he just bought the podcasting equipment and wanted to play with it and learn how to use it. So he managed to convince me. He kept on saying to me, you should have a podcast. I was like, what do you need? I've got enough things going on in my life. I don't need to have a podcast. But anyway, he basically pinned me down for the first episode and made me do it. And then I enjoyed it. And then I got excited about it. I thought, you know what, this is a really great way to reach people and provide something else that, you know, it's free and it's a good way to encourage people. So I thought, well, let's do this. And yeah, and we've just been doing it every week since.
That's great. And what do you call, what is the name of your podcast?
So it's just called the Laura Horn Art Podcast.
Okay.
So nothing original there, but yeah, and it's really a very casual conversation that we have each week, but we usually have some kind of theme and we try and share some of our experiences from what we've learned so far. And yeah, we just cover things like some of the stuff we've been talking about in this conversation. So managing Instagram, you know, online tools, things that you can use in your business, and painting stuff, like how, you know, how to approach painting big and staying loose, all sorts of things.
That's great.
Whatever is exciting me at the time is pretty much what we talk about.
That's great. I love it. All right. So, so we talked about the podcast. There's one other big thing I want to talk about is next year you are planning a retreat in Bali. Can you tell me all about that?
Yeah. So this is an exciting new adventure for us. And it was something that I was kind of craving, like having more in-person experiences like this year and going into next year. One of the things that I'm really focusing on is building community and having real connections and reaching out to people and having conversations and things like that. And but I was also a little bit, I guess, nervous about taking that next step. You know, it's easy to teach an online class. It's a different thing altogether to do in person. And I'd done a little bit of it, but not a lot. And so I needed someone to give me a bit of a push and encourage me to take this next step. And I was very lucky to meet up with an artist who lives there, Dolene Walker, who I had been chatting to on social media. And I went over and visited her and had a holiday with my family over there. And while we were there, we just started dreaming and planning and putting together an experience that we feel is going to be really unique. And we just, yeah, we got very excited about it and now we're doing it. So, yeah.
That's wonderful. Where will it be? What type of a venue?
Okay, so our painting venue is actually at Dolene's home, which is absolutely breathtakingly beautiful. We looked at some other venues, retreat venues, while we were over there, and then we ended up concluding that her home was better than the things that we had looked at. And then we have a little hotel that has 20 rooms that's only just down the road from where she has her home. And so we will have our accommodation there, but then we will come to her home each day to paint. And the accommodation is lovely. It has a pool and a communal area to gather. And then Dolene's home is the same. It's got lovely areas for us to all spread out and enjoy Bali. And she has the most amazing views all over the rice paddies. It's a beautiful part of Bali. It's only, I think it's about 20 minutes from Canggu, which is a very popular tourist destination in Bali, but it's in a village. It's you get to see the real Bali when you're there, which is, it's just, yeah, it's very enchanting and uplifting to spend time there.
Oh, that sounds beautiful. How many days will the retreat be?
So the retreat is 7 nights and 6 days. So there'll be 6 days of painting and exploring, and yeah, so it's a full week experience.
That's wonderful. And what is the dates for this?
So this will be running in April next year, from the 5th to the 12th. And I actually only announced the applications today, and we've already had loads of interest, so we're very, very excited. So we'll be working through those applications over the next day or two and getting back to people. And so it's not that long away, actually.
No, that's going to come along before you know it. Well, that's very exciting. And do you think you'll do others throughout the year?
Yeah, we've got some tentative bookings to do another 2 retreats in Bali.
Okay.
So we'll continue with the Bali theme and do that. But I guess one of those things that I'd always had in my original vision when we talked about how I had this dream was to be able to travel more. And I always loved traveling. Like when I was in my 20s, I did a lot of traveling through Europe, and my husband's Irish, and I'd really like to do more art workshops and retreats in different places throughout the world. So that is definitely part of my dream and hope for the next few years, is to bring all of this around to different locations.
Do you have one other location that you're thinking of?
Probably Ireland.
Okay.
Will be the other location, because we'd like to go back there and spend some time with our family there. So it seems like a good idea to do a workshop or a retreat while we're there. And then that might lead over to maybe one in England as well. So, I think that's probably where we'll head to after Bali.
And so that one, you'll plan it with the kids' holiday from school then and take them with you?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, and we've got family there. So while we're doing the workshop or the retreat, they'll be able to stay with their grandma there. So that will work out for us. So we'll tie it all in a big, big family adventure.
Okay, so back to the Bali retreat. Is all the information located on your website?
Yeah, so we've put together a brochure which really goes through all the ins and outs of what kind of retreat it is, what kind of painting we'll be doing, where we'll be going, what kind of experiences you'll have in Bali. And all the ins and outs are in there. So that's on my website under retreats. So anyone who's interested can find all the details there.
Great. Will you be doing touring in other cities in Bali, or just staying where the host home is?
So we're lucky because the home is in a really great part of Bali. So one of the, I guess, advantages to the retreat is that we're not going to have to spend a lot of time on a bus getting places, because we have some really great local sort of, like, we've got a water temple that's used by the local people in the area where we'll go. There's a monkey forest, but these aren't like the really touristy ones. These are enjoyed by the local people, but they're spectacular. So most of our, I guess, traveling and seeing Bali will be within sort of half an hour to 45 minutes of where we are.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
Some of the places are even closer, 10 minutes or so. So less time on the bus, more time exploring and painting is the philosophy that we've got.
Very nice. Okay. All right. Well, that is a big venture that you're planning. Do you have any other big plans you'd like to tell us about?
Well, what else have I got on the cards? My husband and I are working on putting together a couple of online classes next year that will be a little bit different from the format that we've been doing this year. So we've been doing the mixed media minis, but while I've been doing that, I've been getting a lot of people asking me about, I guess, a deeper experience, and particularly in translating some of your ideas into bigger canvases and bigger works and being more prolific in your art. So we're putting together something around that for next year, and it will be a different format, and we're still sort of nutting it out at the moment, but we're going to go big next year.
So, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that will still be an online class then?
Yes, so that will be an online class. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's great, because, you know, you really, sometimes you just can't do the big things when you're traveling to go to these retreats. You know, sometimes you even do it just on paper rather than canvas, because you can't travel with a big 24x24 canvas or something. Okay. Well, this has been so much fun. I've loved talking to you, Laura.
Yeah, me too. It's good to connect with you. And now, you know, we can continue to follow each other on Instagram and chat online.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what time of year is it? It is, we're in late fall for us. And what is it in Australia?
So we are just about to come into our summer.
Okay. And is the summer when the kids are out of school?
Yeah, so my kids have got another, probably going to get this wrong now. I think they've only got another 2 weeks. and then they're going to be home for 6 weeks over the summer. So I'm really busy this next couple of weeks doing as much work as I can because I need to, you know, take my foot off the gas when they come home and have a bit of a break over the summer.
So, I understand. Yeah. Yeah, we just had a week off for our Thanksgiving here. The Thanksgiving's always on a Thursday, and the kids usually just got 2 days off, Thursday and Friday. But the last couple years, they've given them the entire week. And I said to my daughter, I said, gosh, it seems like you were out for 3 full weeks. It just seemed so long and wonderful. Yeah. Well, it's been very nice talking to you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for inviting me to be on the podcast.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing all the wonderful new things you do.
Oh, thank you very much.
I loved our conversation. Laura really seems like she knew what she wanted from the very beginning of her art career. And now she's teaching what she's learned in her online classes. If only I didn't live on the other side of the world from Bali, I'd definitely be signing up for her retreat, if not for the 24-hour flight time. Perhaps I'll catch her when she comes to Ireland. Laura has so many great business tips. Here are just a few takeaways from this episode. Number 1. Art journaling is a great way to start making art. You can try out new materials and techniques in a small space, and you can work out things just for yourself. Number 2. She suggests selling smaller pieces at outdoor markets and larger works on canvas in cafes. Number 3. I think one of the most important things she said in terms of being a working artist is to just make art all the time. Number 4. Try to give your artwork a cohesive look when displaying at a show or cafe. Number 5. Dedicate time to reflecting on your work to figure out what colors and images you like to use and what processes you like to make. Number 6. After you paint, analyze whether you felt uplifted and inspired by what you did to see if that's something you really want to do more of. Number 7. Consider setting up a Facebook group for your online classes. Number 8. Create your classes so that if people want to take more than one, the content will build on one another. Number 9. One of her great Instagram tips. Use a post scheduling program such as later.com and do all your social media updates on your laptop. And number 10. Have a regular habit of posting to social media. I hope you've enjoyed hearing Laura talk about her artwork and how she develops her classes. If you think you might be interested in her Bali retreat, check out the information on her website. The retreat is in April 2019, and that'll be right around the corner real soon. Laura's website is laurahornart.com. And be sure to check out my show notes for this episode to see examples of Laura's art. My Facebook page for this podcast is called The Left Brain Artist. You can also find me on Instagram at The Left Brain Artist. I post photos of my own artwork on my personal Instagram account, which is called Suzanne Redmond Art. Feel free to follow both of those accounts. If you're enjoying these podcast episodes, please leave me a comment on the show notes on my website or send me an email. And thank you for listening to the Left Brain Artist podcast. I'm Suzanne Redmond. See you next time.